1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Luke 21, verses 25 to 36. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Father, as we come today, as we have heard your word read, we just pray now that you will open our hearts and minds to what you are saying to each one of us. Father, teach us your way, we pray, that we may understand your word and live by it to the glory of your name. Amen. I'm sure that I don't need to ask the question this morning about what will be happening in just under 4 weeks' time. Oh, you're all looking very solemn. 4 weeks' time. We have the signs already in the streets, in the shops, in our newspapers, and on the television. Because of all that's going on outside in the world, it's very easy to forget that for Christians, Advent is not just looking forward to Jesus being born, remembering the birth of Jesus. Advent is a time when we think about what the second coming of Christ means to us all. We all long for an end to the misery, the injustice, and the cruelty of the world in which we live. Many of us, and most of us, which we will all know from first-hand experience, life can often seem very unfair to us all. Things happen that don't make sense, and we find it very, very difficult to understand. And as Christians, we don't need to pretend that the bad things aren't there. God knows that they are, and he knows that we are sad and bewildered by many things that go on in our lives. But from the Gospels we know that Jesus felt sorrow and concern and love for anyone who was ill or a child who has died. We know that Jesus would weep at sad and distressing events. We also know from Scripture that instead of trying to explain why these horrible things had happened, Jesus actually set about doing something about it, comforting the people, and doing everything he could to make the situation better. This example of Jesus is one that we should follow as well. So what are we feeling about the coming 3 weeks? Excitement, expectancy, or maybe you've got a sense of foreboding, of fear, of panic, of wondering how, what's going to happen. We can also be hung up on how we will know when Jesus is returning. Are the signs there? When is he coming? How will he come? How many trumpets will blow? And no doubt we've read in our newspapers and heard on the television of place times when somebody has said, Jesus is appearing in October 2014. And October 2014 comes and goes and Jesus still has not appeared. And it's important to remember through all the sufferings and injustice that we read about, or that we ourselves endure, that we should be ready and prepared for the return of Jesus, rather than becoming obsessed with the signs that will herald his return. Many references in the New Testament tell us that only the Father knows the time of Jesus' return. We are not given access to that information. Our responsibility is to be ready and prepared. Being a Christian means having a hope for the future. It's looking forward to the second coming of Christ and allowing God to move each one of us forward. And as we do that, as we allow God to work in our lives through his Holy Spirit to transform us into the people he wants us to be, then his church will grow and other lives will be transformed. So our part is to make sure that we are preparing ourselves in such a way that we will be ready when Christ appears again. During Advent, many of us are following a book called My Beloved Son, which is written by Bishop Michael Bourne. It's a series of readings about who Jesus is based on Hebrews. It's a very challenging book. Studies can be done by individuals as well as a group, and I would actually recommend it for anyone who's actually seeking to understand a bit more about the God who created us and the God's Son who came to this world that we might have life. So if you'd like a copy, do speak to Peter or myself afterwards. And if you'd still like to join a group for Advent, that's still possible too. At the beginning of this study that Michael Bourne wrote, we are asked to consider the following question. Are you an avid reader of the New Testament with a sense of awe and wonder that God has finally spoken through Jesus and that he has spoken to you? Or have you slipped into casual familiarity? When I was doing the daily reading on this, I actually found that sentence very, very challenging. It's so easy to say, oh yes, I know all about the scriptures. I know what it's saying about Jesus coming a second time. But is that a casual familiarity? Have we got that awe? As we were singing in the hymn, Be still for the glory of the Lord, with splendor he is crowned, how awesome is the sight. How do we feel that awesome feeling of our God? How often do we spend getting to know God better, understanding what he wants for our lives? And if we want to drive a car safely or ride a bike, we need to know how to go about it. We look in our mirror to see there's nothing behind us. We signal what we're going to do, assuming it's safe. And then we manoeuvre, we go. And the reading from Thessalonians helps us here. It helps us to have ideas about what we can do. Paul was writing to check whether the Thessalonians had remembered what he had taught them. Were they still following Jesus? Being faithful to him in their lives? Don't forget, this was long before the days of emails and internet and telephones and all the rest of it. And he sent Timothy there to actually find out what was happening. And Timothy came back with good news of their faithfulness. Paul then expresses his joy as he writes to them. And he prays that they will use their time to prepare for their final meeting with God and not be complacent about meeting him. He makes the point so well that actually the Thessalonians do nothing else. They sit down and they just give up everything and say, right, God's coming, we've got to prepare ourselves for it. But later Paul has to write to them again in 2 Thessalonians because they have given up everything in order to concentrate on Jesus' second coming. And Paul writes to them to say that actually they have to get on with their everyday normal life as they prepare for the second coming. They have to get on with what God wants them to do and not just sit back and do nothing. Because they didn't know when it was going to happen and they had to be themselves as God wanted them to be. So we don't know when it's going to happen. So our responsibility is to get on with the lives that God has given us. And Paul gives us some ideas on this. He first of all says, be strong in faith. Keep our lives dependent on God. The Thessalonians needed encouragement from Paul so they would not lack in faith. Our lives should be dependent on God to grow closer to him through Jesus, the Son of Man who came to this earth that we might know what God is like. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We should not just be sitting back waiting for things to happen. We should be actually actively seeking in faith what God wants us to do. What is his purpose for our life, wherever we're at? Not being just casually familiar with what we read in our Bibles. The second pointer that Paul gives us in verse 12 is love one another. Love one another. We've had that famous commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second, love your neighbour as yourself. These are difficult words to take to heart, and it is the fact that we have this example of Jesus caring for people, looking after people, loving people. Are we doing the same? And thirdly, in verse 13, it says, and keep yourselves pure and innocent. We should make sure that our lives are holy and acceptable to God. To do this, it is important that we allow God to strengthen us so that our lives are holy and acceptable. How much time do we spend allowing God to strengthen us? Michael Bourne in the study book again writes that God, who made this amazing universe, who brought life to this planet, has actually spoken to us, is awesome. God spoke to us through his Son. Awesome. That word again that we've actually sung about. It is awesome. It's a word perhaps we don't always reflect on or attribute much to our Christian faith. And also Jane Williams writes, intelligent waiting seems to be the theme of today's reading. The point of Advent is to learn God's characteristics so as to recognize him when he comes, not to be so armored against life that we never really experience anything. A life is a God-given experience. So let us not lose that awesome feeling of God, our Creator. We know what God is like because Jesus Christ came to this earth as man and we saw him, saw God in Jesus. But God is also a Creator, an awesome Creator. And getting that balance in our Christian life is not always easy. And if we've been a Christian for a long time, it can be difficult too. So let us, with that excitement and that enthusiasm, that awe, actually rededicate our lives to God, marvelling at what he has done for us. And then we can look forward to the second coming as we live our lives to the full with joy and anticipation. Now, in your service sheets, you should have had in it Psalm 25. Yes, good. And I thought to close, we would say this psalm, say it together. It is a psalm appointed for today, and I think it's very relevant to what is being said in our scriptures. So Psalm 25, verses 1 to 9, we say it together. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way.